It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeBreeze and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs. We are live here on Patriots.com radio for the next 2 hours, and we're helping you dominate your fantasy football drafts. This is our first edition of the draft special of Fantasy Football Champs. I'm Bill Enright alongside Todd DeVries. And Todd, when I say the first edition, we'll have another one next week, but that's it. In terms of draft preparation, we have two more shows left, and then we kick it over to the regular season kind of strategy and advice.
16 days, my man, until it all kicks off on Thursday night in early September. It's getting close now, man, because we've always advised, Bill, wait until after week 3 to have your fantasy drafts.
Well, exactly.
Here we are. Week 3 is upon us, so one more week of action where you're going to see the starters playing about as much as they're going to play in the preseason, and then it's time to get cracking on your cheat sheets and draft.
Yeah, the week 3 of the preseason ends on August 25th. So that Monday, next Monday, it's game time. It's crunch time for your fantasy drafts. And now Labor Day weekend kind of throws a wrench into your plans. If you were thinking about going away, you might have some fantasy drafts. But now's the time to do it. You don't want to be drafting this weekend because, as you mentioned, Todd, you'll see a lot of the starters playing the most they have all preseason in this third week of games. So you don't want to be drafting a guy Saturday afternoon and then all of a sudden you're watching him get carted off the field Saturday night. That's not a good feeling.
Not a good feeling at all. But Bill, you know, like you said, with Labor Day coming up, there'll be a lot of drafts this weekend. It's going to start.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of people drafting on Sunday night. So it's all here, man. It's time to get going.
As we're getting started here, I want to give a quick shout-out to our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins. What's going on, Kev?
Not much, guys. Nice and hot up here. So, trying
How's
to
practice hot? Today?
Yeah, very hot at practice today. So it's supposed to be hot all week. So These guys get to go to, you know, lovely Detroit tomorrow. So scenic Detroit.
Did you have your shirt off at practice?
I did not. I kept my shirt on. No, I didn't want to compete with those guys. So I didn't want to show them up.
Yeah, something like that. Well, we have a lot going on today. Again, it's our special draft edition of the Fantasy Football Champs here on Patriots.com Radio. A lot to get to, and I'm talking about jam-packed show. We're going to reveal the players who made our guys on our FFChamps.com sleeper article. It's something that is going to help you win your drafts. I promise you, it's one of our most popular articles. People, all of our members at FFChamps.com, they wait and wait and wait for us to release the Our Guys list. It's basically players that we want on our own teams. Todd and I are in a lot of different leagues, and there's always one or two players at each position that we target in all of our drafts. So we're going to reveal that list. We'll also go over the week 2 of the preseason, who got injured, who moved up the depth chart, who moved down the depth chart. And we'll also look at some contract year players, Todd, maybe guys that are going to be extra motivated looking for a big payday at the end of the 2013 regular season.
That's right, Bill. That's those are keys into finding some value with some players, is who's extra motivated because they might perform a little bit above the norm on that particular year. So we'll go through all of it. There's lots to cover. And there's lots of emails rolling in, Bill. There's going to be lots of callers today. It's going to be a jam-packed show.
Speaking of callers, speaking of the emailers, the phone number, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500. And then you can hit us up on email, webradio@patriots.com. We're also on Twitter, @FFChamps, answering draft advice questions from all over Twitter, email, phone calls. We love the callers, though. Phone lines are wide open right now, 855-728-7500. Todd, what do you say we get into the preseason recap? Let's go over the injury report and take a look at some of the players that got a little bit dinged up during the second week of preseason.
Oh, man. Lots. There's lots to discuss here, Bill. Let's start off with the news that kind of rolled in a couple hours ago with Victor Cruz.
Okay.
Victor Cruz has a bruised heel. He's considered day-to-day, questionable for the rest of the preseason. But, you know, luckily, like we said, there's 16 days until the Thursday night opener of the NFL season. Plenty of time to heal up a bruised heel, I would hope.
Yeah, Cruz is not going to play this weekend against the New York Jets. He was spotted wearing a walking boot and moving around on crutches, which is kind of interesting because at the end, after the game was over against the Indianapolis Colts last weekend, he was walking around without a limp. So definitely precautionary. Don't overreact to seeing him in a walking boot. Sometimes a picture can tell 1,000 words, but in this case, it's going to get people a little bit crazy. We're not moving him down our cheat sheet. We're not moving him down in our rankings. Victor Cruz is going to be fine once week one rolls around.
Yeah, another wide receiver that people are keeping a close eye on is Mr. Wes Welker. He has a mild ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain as far as we know, right, Bill?
Yeah, mild ankle sprain, not as severe as that dreaded high ankle sprain. So that was good news for Welker. Now, he's probably going to be held out of this third preseason game as well. But again, I think it's just precautionary. You know,
hold them all out.
Exactly, Todd. The Broncos don't want to win the third preseason game. They want to win, you know, their third.
Yeah, do the Broncos need to know what Wes Welker can do? No. They know what he can do.
Exactly.
And the same thing goes for Roddy White, another wide receiver.
100%.
Veteran wide receiver for the Falcons. Another ankle sprain. Another non-high ankle sprain. And I always want to stress the ankle sprains versus the high ankle sprains, because those are the ones that concern you.
Absolutely. And I think the Falcons are being smart here. They pretty much already said that he's not going to play the rest of the preseason.
Yeah. So Roddy White, Wes Welker, Victor Cruz, all dinged up. All will be fine by week one. You might be able to get a little bit of value with those three guys if your draft is, say, in the next couple of days, you know?
You know, you're right. I think this negative news about their injuries, which is really not that negative, but it's going to make people pass them up. There's nothing worse than people overreacting to a minor injury in the preseason, saying, well, it may carry over into the regular season, not being the case at all. So you might see a guy like Roddy White, Welker, or Victor Cruz, who was drafted in, if you're in a PPR league, maybe the middle to late third round, all of a sudden they're going in the early fourth, and you got yourself a steal if you're in that second half of the draft.
Yeah, but that's, you say it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. If you're a smart fantasy player, right?
Right, exactly.
You can take it, use it to your advantage, man. You know,
100%. Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for. I kind of like that you see these really super minor injuries with these guys, these big time wide receivers, because they might slip a couple spots, maybe around. You never know. They might slip just a little bit, just enough to fall in your lap. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't have any drafts this weekend, Bill. But if you do, maybe even into next week, if the status is kind of the same, you know, just because the reports are out today on Victor Cruz, you're not really going to see him for the next week, right?
Exactly. He's not going to play this weekend, so maybe people panic a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
How about Doug Martin, the second-year running back from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? He left the game after taking a knee to the head by Chandler Jones, and that's a big knee coming at you.
Yeah, and, you know, it doesn't seem to be a serious injury. And that's huge because Doug Martin's a top three running back in all formats right now.
Well, it wasn't a concussion. We know that. They did not diagnose it as a concussion, which is a good thing because concussions tend to linger. And they're very easily, you know, reconcussed. Is that a word? Is that a phrase?
Reconcussed?
Reconcussed.
Let's make it a word, sure.
It's very easy to get another concussion once you already have one. You're more prone to getting another concussion.
So what is this? What are they calling this?
They're calling it a head injury.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little shady.
Is what? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Because a lot of times they disguise concussions by saying they have a head injury.
Well, we're...
Or an upper body injury. In hockey, they say upper body injury for concussion.
Right. We're broadcasting the show on Tuesday live.
Right.
He was practicing on Monday, so he was practicing.
Yeah, I know. We're not concerned. I'm just kind of playing with this whole concussion thing because a lot of teams try to hide him. So
right.
It doesn't seem to be the case here, like you said. It all depends on whether he's practicing or not with concussions. He's practicing. Don't worry about Doug Martin. 2.5 weeks till the season starts. We're fine.
We are a bit concerned about Pittsburgh Steelers rookie running back Le'Veon Bell. He was absent. He was inactive for their first preseason game, started in their second preseason game, but he only played one series because he has something called a mid-foot sprain. Have you heard of that?
Mid-foot sprain.
A mid-foot
sprain. So it's not an ankle sprain.
And it's not a toe sprain.
It's not a foot sprain. It's a midfoot sprain. Mid-foot. Very specific.
Yep. So that's what he's got going on.
Well, here's the deal, right? He seemed like a natural fit in Pittsburgh. He's a bigger bodied guy, kind of like the old Jerome Bettis, you know, type running backs we're used to seeing in Pittsburgh. He lands in Pittsburgh. He's a rookie. Everyone wants to find that sexy rookie. The first week they held him out because he had some other injury, little minor injuries. So we were all kind of waiting to see him play, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a Monday night, you know, national stage, and he stunk up the joint and got hurt right away. So not a great first impression on fantasy owners.
No, it's certainly not. But the Steelers do need a quality running back. Right now they have Jonathan Dwyer, Isaac Redman, Lerod Stevens-Howling. Le'Veon Bell can have that job to himself. But he has to get healthy.
Yeah, has to get healthy. And the injury I want to talk about at the quarterback position, Bill, is actually a guy that was a pleasant surprise. A rookie quarterback, E.J. Yep. Manuel, right here in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills. He actually looked pretty solid in his first action in the preseason. But now he's got a knee injury. He'll miss the rest of the preseason, but they're saying he'll be fine for week one? Or are we not sure yet?
They're not saying. They didn't even say that he's named the official starter yet. So even if he's ready for week one, he may not be under center for that first snap. It could be
Kevin
Cobb. I'll
say this. The way he was playing, if he hadn't been hurt, come on, he would have been
now,
a starter.
I think it's a little up in the air now.
Yeah, well, now you're right. Maybe they'll wait. So that's actually kind of an interesting injury. It's a shame. He actually was looking pretty good.
Also, another rookie, DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver for the Houston Texans, he will miss their third preseason game after suffering a concussion. Now, Hopkins, they came out and said he had a concussion, not a head injury like Doug Martin.
Mm. Nuke Hopkins.
So explosive.
I think he has all the tools, and he's in the right situation to be the top rookie fantasy wide receiver this year. And so hopefully he can get it back out in the field soon. He's a nice compliment to Andre Johnson. They got Matt Schaub there, nice running game. You know, he can just kind of fit in and be a part of the offense. Nothing's going to be centered around him. He'll have one-on-one coverage, you would think, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a shame. Hopefully he can get back and be ready to roll by week one.
Moving down the list, Kendall Wright from the Tennessee Titans, Todd. He may not be a household name for a lot of general NFL fans, but if you played fantasy football last year, you took notice because he was a rookie, bursted onto the scene. He avoided an ACL tear, but the Titans are saying that he sprained his knee. Very questionable for week one at this point.
That's a shame, you know. At least it's not the worst-case scenario, the ACL tear.
Right.
But, you know, we're kind of waiting to see him break out. He was the first-round draft pick out of Baylor a couple years ago. And, the Titans don't have the greatest quarterback situation, but you were hoping this guy's got the talent to be a breakout star eventually. We'll see. I guess it's maybe going to be derailed just a little bit longer now.
A couple more injuries to get to here. Lance Dunbar from the Dallas Cowboys has a sprained foot. He's out for the rest of training camp. Fantasy managers should take notice because Dunbar was expected to be DeMarco Murray's handcuff this season. But now with him being out for the rest of training camp, you might see Joseph Randle, the rookie out of Oklahoma State, squeeze into that number two job.
And the reason that's important, Bill, is because DeMarco Murray can't stay healthy himself.
Exactly.
So whoever's number two on that depth chart, you're more than likely is going to play, probably start a couple of games at minimum this year at some point. So it's kind of, we got to keep an eye on who the number two guy is in Dallas. And right now, the door's open for Joseph Randle to take the job.
Absolutely. This name may not matter heading into week one, but I'll tell you, by November, people are going to know Lance Dunbar or Joseph Randle, because you said it, Todd. DeMarco Murray just can't stay healthy.
Nope.
How about Colby Fleener from the Indianapolis Colts, one of their two tight ends they drafted last season, has a knee sprain. He's considered day-to-day. His MRI was negative, so that's good news for Fleener.
Yep, good news for Fleener. He needs to start catching the ball, though, man. He's had some drops.
Yeah.
Shocking. I liked Fleener coming out of Stanford, and he was, you know, paired with Andrew Luck, his quarterback in college. He thought it was a nice fit.
Yep.
He's made a lot of drops. I'm not giving up on him yet, but he needs to start holding on to the ball, man.
Another tight end that got injured, he's not coming back at all in 2013. That's Dustin Keller. And, Todd, I think you saw this video. Boy, was that hit nasty. He tore his ACL, his PCL, his MCL, and he dislocated his kneecap all in the same hit. really bad injury. If you get queasy looking at players' knees bending the wrong way, you're not going to want to see Dustin Keller getting kind of lit
brutal.
Up by, yeah.
That was brutal, yeah. And, hey, you know, the Dolphins are trying to kind of resurrect their passing game, and he was going to be part of that, and now he's gone. So that's kind of a big deal to me. You know, really not so much for tight ends, but more so for how that might affect the ground game.
Yep.
You know, Tannehill, still a young quarterback, needs that safety valve. Keller could have been that safety valve. Now he's gone. How does that affect the ground game? Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Dolphins kind of use both of those running backs going forward. Especially with the new, you know, Dustin Keller was supposed to help boost Ryan Tannehill's receiving core up. They signed Mike Wallace, they signed Dustin Keller, they signed Brandon Gibson.
Yeah.
Now they don't, and they got rid of Anthony Fasano, their tight end from last year. So it'll be interesting to see how the Dolphins look.
Exactly. He's not a huge fantasy star, Keller, obviously, right?
Right.
But
at least he wasn't with the Jets.
Yeah, but when he's not there, it actually hurts everyone else around him more so than you would think. So he's kind of a key cog. It's kind of a key injury there for the Dolphins.
And then we have Blaine Gabbert, the quarterback from the Jacksonville Jaguars. This one's interesting to me, Todd. He sprained his thumb on his throwing hand against the New York Jets, and he looked pretty good to start the game, but then he left because of the injury.
Right.
But the coaches still named him the starter after the game.
They have confidence in Gabby, man.
They sure do.
He's the man. He is the future of the franchise there in Jacksonville. He's looking sharp.
For people that don't know, you're being extremely sarcastic right now.
Yes. The next time they name a starting quarterback of significance, it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater at the NFL draft in April.
So you think the Jaguars have the first or second pick?
Oh, yeah, they're going to have a top two pick. Don't you think? Them and Raiders probably.
Yeah, them or the Raiders, either one of them.
So Jadeveon Clowney is going to go to one and Teddy Bridgewater to the other.
Right.
Help him.
Now, an injury that we weren't really aware of during the game is Danny Amendola from the Pats, but he missed the last 2 days of practice, and our friend at ESPN Boston says it's not a major concern, but, Todd, it kind of is when you're talking about Danny Amendola and injuries, right?
Hey, you know, the knock on Danny Amendola was his injury passed. He just gets banged up. He misses games here and there. You know, he's a little bit bigger than Wes Welker. He's supposed to replace Wes Welker. Looks like a nice fit, perfect fit. Got to show up. You got to lace him up on Sundays, though, man. You can't get fantasy points if they're on the bench. This is a big concern. This could hurt his ADP. If he just has a couple, even if it doesn't really mean anything, Bill, even if it's precautionary, just like we talked about with these other guys.
Right.
Like when Wes Welker's out with a mild ankle sprain, you know he'll be fine.
Right.
When Danny Amendola has an injury, you start to doubt a little bit because you're already downing him to begin with.
A little bit of cause for concern.
A little bit. Fantasy-wise, a little bit. Yep.
Yeah. All right, what do you say we get to some of the depth chart changes that we saw take place this weekend in the preseason week number two games? Let's start it off with the Pats, Todd. The number two receiving job. It seemed like Aaron Dobson would have been the guy to grab this number two job alongside Danny Amendola based on the fact that Pats drafted him in the second round, but it looks like Kembrell Tompkins is going to win that number two spot.
Well, we'll see. There's still some time left for them to battle it out, but Bill, I think you had a good stat on this. Why don't you spit it out at me? I don't have it in front of me. Preseason game.
Tompkins played 21 snaps with Tom Brady, whereas Aaron Dobson only played two.
Now, why is that significant?
Well, it means that Tompkins got a lot of time with the first team rep. You know, with the first team, got a lot of reps with that
exactly.
First string.
This is
Dobson was playing with Tim Tebow and, you know, Ryan Mallett.
This is the deal, right? When you're a serious fantasy player, and it's hard to sit down and watch an entire preseason game, right? Let's be honest, especially if your team's not playing.
Totally.
So a lot of people look at the box scores the next morning. And you can't do that in preseason because you don't know where the catches came from in the case of a wide receiver like Dobson, right?
Right.
You could have a wide receiver catching six balls, 100 yards, and a touchdown all in the fourth quarter from a fourth-string quarterback where, you know, a guy playing for a starting job catches one ball for 8 yards. That's the guy you got to worry about. Who got the snaps with the ones?
Right.
It's important.
Also, yeah, it is. Very important. And then in this case, Tompkins got a lot more than Dobson did. 21-2.
Yeah, that's significant.
But Dobson had a better yardage total.
But who cares?
Right. Again, I'm just proving your point.
Right. Yep. So right now, Tompkins is a guy to keep an eye on. Only in deeper leagues, though, Bill, right?
Why only in deeper leagues? Why do you think you say that? I don't know.
Actually, you know what? What if Damian Amendola does go out with an injury like he probably will?
Even with Amendola is on the field, you still want the number two receiver from an offense like the Patriots.
Yeah, I guess with Gronk and Hernandez out, for Gronk, who knows when he's going to be back. Good point, man. Good point. I don't know. I just I wouldn't go too crazy over, drafting Tompkins unless it's a late round pick.
I'm not saying you take him as your number two. You draft him as your number four or number five, and you expect that, his upside comes into play at some point this season.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Some quarterbacks were named the starter. We already mentioned that Blaine Gabbert won the job in Jacksonville, but how about Mike Vick being announced the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Not a huge surprise there. He's actually looked pretty good this preseason, Bill.
Yeah.
And I think it was his to lose. I know that Chip Kelly trying to manufacture, a battle between he and Foles. And I think if Vic stunk it up in August that, Foles would have had a shot. But Vic's a much better fit for the offense. He's obviously athletic and versatile, can roll out, can do the read option, can do all that stuff. And you got to believe that the Eagles haven't shown their full arsenal yet either this preseason. There's a lot of stuff they're going to throw at the Redskins in that Monday night opener. So not a surprise that Vic won it. The question will be from fantasy managers is how long will he last, Bill? Will he even make it to the game one without getting hurt? That's the first question.
Yeah.
And then if he does, can he make it through this September? It's almost like a week-to-week or month-to-month thing with Vic on when he'll get injured, because he will get injured at some point.
And that's the problem. I think if Vic is healthy, DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy become pretty highly touted fantasy prospects. LeSean McCoy is a running back one. DeSean, I think, can be a wide receiver too. But without Vic in the lineup, I think both of those guys take a little bit of a downgrade.
A little bit of a downgrade. I'm just, watched a little bit of the Eagles game last week, and against Carolina Panthers, he's running around like it's a Super Bowl, man. He's running around trying to get first downs, Vic, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like head first dives. I'm like, he hasn't learned a thing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's all these reports out there that he's learned how to slide, he's learned how to get out of bounds. No, he hasn't. He's the same old Vic, for better or for worse.
How about the situation with the New York Jets, Todd? I mean, should we even mention Mark Sanchez or Geno Smith? If any of you out there are drafting a Jets quarterback this season, please send me an email, webradio@patriots.com. I would love to be in your league.
Seriously. where do we even begin with this? Who cares who wins this job?
I think that's the point we need to make here.
I think it would be good for the show if Sanchez wins the job, because it's just going to be hilarity week after week.
Yeah.
Right? Same but fumbles. Who knows what's going to happen this year? He has something up his sleeve.
Yeah.
Geno Smith, I don't know, man. I just, once he landed in New York, I think that it was all over for him, unfortunately. I'm not giving him much of a chance under this regime anyway, under this coaching staff and the way it's currently situated there. He would have been much better off going to a good team where he could sit for a couple of years and learn and get inserted, in a year or two. Kind of like Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, They both got drafted in similar spots, early second round, right?
Yeah.
And the Niners had the foresight to, hang on with him for a year and a half before they put him in because of an injury. Right. And if Alex Smith hadn't gotten hurt, he probably still would have been not starting yet. So that's what Geno needed. He needs another couple of years of professional coaching before he can play at this level. And he's in a terrible spot right now.
And the last piece of news that we have from the last few days is a trade from the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, both of these players probably relatively unknown, unless you're, a pretty serious fantasy football player. But John Baldwin, formerly of the Chiefs, was traded to the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for A.J. Jenkins. Now, Todd, both of these guys were actually first-round picks when they were drafted by their original teams. Mm. But they've been major, major busts so far in their careers.
Your garbage for my garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what this is. I mean, A.J. Jenkins, he's terrible. I mean, he has no upside or anything. At least John Baldwin can play. He's shown flashes. He's just a head case.
Yeah.
You know? So I think the Niners are getting the better part of this deal. I'm not making a huge stink about it. You know, I don't think it's some sort of amazing trade that's going to put him over the top or whatever.
Right.
But I think that from a fantasy and reality standpoint, I think the Niners are getting the better player here.
Yeah, A.J. Jenkins, I mean, even when he was drafted, we kind of scratched our heads. First round selection.
Yeah, it was Niners. A very un-49er-like pick, you know.
Yeah, it sure was.
So he, you know, it's not surprising that, I mean, he caught like one ball the preseason and he fumbled it.
Yeah.
And last season, correct me if I'm wrong, did he catch a ball last season?
Not one catch.
Right. So first round pick got zero catches. And they still went to the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy.
That's telling you something. What if they actually hit on that player? And they got someone that could produce. They could have been that much
over.
More dangerous.
I'm trying to think who they took over. There was another receiver on the board. It might have been Kendall Wright.
No, I think I'll look it up for you. I think Kendall Wright went earlier. He was a first-round pick. A.J. Jenkins was late first round, I believe.
A.J. Jenkins, you're right. 30th overall, A.J. Jenkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So.
But whatever. That was a bad pick. Bad pick by the 49ers.
No, it wasn't a good one.
No, it was not a good one. All right, so that's kind of what happened the last few days in preseason on some depth chart changes as we head into week three of the preseason. We're going to take a quick break here on the Fantasy Football Champs, but coming up, we're going to reveal who made the Our Guys list for running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. It's something you're not going to want to miss, and we're also going to take your phone calls, 855-728-7500, 855-728-PATS-500 is the phone number. You can also email us at webradio@patriots.com. A lot of emails coming in, so we'll definitely get to emails in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. More Fantasy Football Champs coming up next on patriots.com radio.
Winning made easy with ffchamps.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
All right, just getting started here on the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. We're going to go over our guys list for running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. But, Todd, I think we should help everyone that's been emailing us, webradio@patriots.com, get to some of these emails, help everyone out there with their fantasy football draft strategy. The first one is from JD, Todd. He's in an auction league. So for those of you who don't know about auction league, it's not necessarily a round or, you know, pick by pick. Basically, everyone gets a turn to nominate a player, and then people bid on that player. You get, let's say, a fictitious budget of $100 or $200. For this case, we'll just make it easy, say for $100. So JD's in an auction league, and he has a pretty good draft strategy here. He wants to know that, you know, we all talk about handcuffing your studs. So if you have Arian Foster, you're going to want Ben Tate. He gives the example of if someone, Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce being the handcuff situation here. So his strategy is, and he wants to know if it's a good idea, is there any benefit of nominating a handcuff, someone like Bernard Pierce, before someone nominates Ray Rice? This way, the person that gets Ray Rice later on in the draft, you know, they'd have to probably spend a little bit more money because they already have the handcuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like how he's thinking. That's
pretty good strategy.
That is, of course, first of all, you'd have to do it to a handcuff of a guy you really aren't interested in, right?
Why?
But why would you do it if you're interested in Ray Rice? Why would you burn
yourself? Oh, you mean JD. Right. JD should not nominate Ray. Right.
Yeah, like let's say, you know, for whatever reason, he just doesn't want any part of Arian Foster this year, you know?
Right, then he should nominate Ben Tate.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that strategy.
Pretty good strategy, yeah.
I like that. I like it because it adds a little spice to the draft.
Yeah, it throws you for a loop a little bit.
Everyone's like, what? Everyone's like, huh? And then they were kind of like, you're really Slick Willie over there, you know?
And it actually could help him because maybe he nominates Bernard Pierce for a buck, you know, gives him for a dollar. No one wants to touch him because they know what he's trying to do. And then he'll have Bernard Pierce for a dollar, and then if Ray Rice happens to fall to him for a low cost, then he still can get him too.
Mm. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Thinking outside the box.
Pretty good move. Next email, or again, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Our next email comes from Devin in San Francisco. Wants to say that he's a new FF Champs member, and he's very excited to start the season. I guess he called in last week, and we had him choose the number, the second spot overall. He plans on taking Doug Martin. He has a follow-up question. He wants to know, in the second and third round, what running backs he should be looking at. So I guess he has a second pick, and he's saying that he has the 23rd and 26th pick in the second and third round. So if my math is correct, he's in a 12-team league.
Correct.
All right, so he's saying that guys like Lamar Miller, Darren Sproles, and David Wilson are the running backs that typically go in that area. I'm not too sure about that. I think he can get some other quality running backs that may drop a little bit to those picks, no?
Is this PPR?
I don't remember.
Because that's where Sproles would be up there, if it's PPR, obviously, right?
He doesn't say in the email, and to be honest with you, I don't remember what kind of situation he was in last week either.
Hmm. Well, you're looking at 23 and 26 overall. He does mention Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green. Those types of guys will definitely have a shot at those two guys, I would imagine, unless it's PPR.
Right, so that's his question. Should he go with those running backs there, who I think there will be better options there, to be honest, but should he go with some of these receivers, which I don't think these guys are going to be here, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas, A.J. Green. If Randall Cobb's there in the third round, I would absolutely pick him up. But I would try to get at least two running backs in the first three rounds.
Yeah, two running backs and a wide receiver.
There you go.
Now, I think you're right. He's talking about the guys he lists as running backs who he thinks will be available. I think there'll be better ones available than who he listed. So
yeah.
I think he'll be pleasantly surprised with who might be there. He might be staring at MJD in the face. You know, somebody like that could drop. And I would snatch him up and then take best wide receiver available. Get out of those first three rounds with two running backs and a wide receiver, and you're sitting pretty.
Now, we do have a phone caller, Pratt in Maryland, but before we take him, 855-728-7500, I got to take a quick jab at Kevin here, Todd, because we have this call screener, and it's basically just a web page that we have that it shows us how many people are on the line and what they want to talk about. And Kevin types in the person's name, where they're from, and in the description about what they want to talk about, Kevin wrote, wants to talk fantasy.
Mm.
Now, could you be more general? I mean, this is the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. If he said, wants to talk about cooking lessons, that would be a little bit of a shock. But the fact that Matt Pratt in Maryland wants to talk about fantasy, I mean, a little bit more descriptive next time, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, that would be like on our Thursday show, Kevin putting in there, wants to talk football.
NFL. Yeah, right.
Let's talk football.
All right, so let's bring in Pratt from Maryland. He wants to talk fantasy. What's up, Pratt?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Well. How are you?
Doing good. I got my draft coming up on Monday, and I definitely want to talk fantasy, nothing to do with cooking lessons.
Okay.
Big Patriots fan, but definitely want to get a good team together, so I'm going to be in a standard league, standard scoring league for 12 teams. And 15 rounds, so I'm pick number 4. So I guess I'll be getting one of those elite running backs.
Yes, you will. You will. So standard league, 12-team league, and you're at number 4. So Peterson's gone. Probably Doug Martin is gone. What do you think, Bill? He's going to be looking at Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, something like that.
Marshawn Lynch, Trent Richardson. You know, Marshawn Lynch, very undervalued when it comes to non-PPR leagues. Guy had 15 touchdowns last year, 1,500 yards, double-digit touchdowns. In a PPR format, he drops out of my top five. But in your standard scoring league, Marshawn Lynch absolutely locked into that top five spot. So, Pratt, it's going to come down to who you prefer. I mean, if you want to take a guy like Beast Mode, who has been getting it done the last few seasons, or you want to go a little bit more risk, bigger reward, go with a guy like Trent Richardson.
Right. Question about Arian Foster. I mean, I read on one fantasy website saying that Arian Foster has the back injury or whatever it is that's keeping him out of practicing, and they're saying, you know, don't take a risk by picking him up too high. Let somebody else use their first round pick on Arian Foster. Do you agree with that?
Here's the thing about Arian Foster right now, Todd. You can either back me up or you can totally disagree. The guy's gotten it done for so many years now. I think this is his fourth year where he's been a top, you know, one of the best fantasy football running backs in the game. He had 391 carries last year. Probably, I think that was the most out of any running back in the league. So I truly believe the Houston Texans are taking it easy on him in the preseason. They're taking it easy on him in training camp. They know what he's capable of doing. He knows the offense. Nothing changed schematically. So there's really, it's not like there's no need for him to practice, but he doesn't need to be taking those extra hits and that extra work. Do I think he has some kind of injury? I do. Do I think it's going to linger on all season? I don't. So to me, Arian Foster is still a quality pick. I don't know if I want to let that guy in the 7th or 8th spot grab him.
Yeah, but I mean, the caller's in the 4 spot. So again, I think Peterson and Martin are definitely going to be gone, right?
Yeah.
He could take someone. And again, I'm looking at the tiers that we have on FF Champs, and we've got Foster, Jamal Charles, and Lynch all in the same tier.
Right.
So if you're worried about Foster, and right now it's a little bit of a concern, then when is your draft?
I believe he said Monday.
Monday is his draft. You know, if you're concerned about Foster, go with Charles or Lynch. I don't think there's that much of a drop-off there at all. And again, I remember, though, was it last year, Bill, when Foster dropped in a lot of drafts? Was it which year was it? Was it last year or the year before when he was hurt in the preseason?
No, it wasn't last year. The anti-awesomeness with the hamstring, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And he dropped to, like, I know in my league he dropped to the guy right in front of me. I think I had the 12th pick, and he went to, like, number 11.
Yeah, he finished with, I think he missed the first 2.5 games, and he still finished with 1,200 yards and like 14 touchdowns.
Yeah, he still did very well. So, you know, if you're sitting there and you're comparing him to Charles and Lynch and you're worried about him, then just take one of the other two guys. He's going to be sitting pretty at the 4 spot. If you don't want to deal with the injury, if you're concerned, you have other options. You're not even diving into another tier, so he's in good shape.
And that's not to say that Arian Foster goes in front of you, which may bump Doug Martin back to you.
You never know. You never know. You never know.
Who are you thinking of going after in the second round?
I was thinking either wide receiver or if Jimmy Graham is still around, probably pick him up.
I wouldn't take Jimmy Graham in the standard format.
It's too high.
In the standard league, I wouldn't take Jimmy Graham there. I would rather see you take a running back, even unless AJ Green or Brandon Marshall come to you in the second round. I wouldn't take a receiver. I would wait to the third round.
Okay.
Grab MJD or grab Chris Johnson in the second round.
Okay.
All right.
A couple more questions for you.
Yeah. Sure.
Last year, when I played with the same group of guys, there was a quarterback frenzy where they picked up Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, all in the first round.
Good.
Pretty much with the first three picks.
That's great. Gives you more options in the second round. You better hope that happens again, because you can pick up Matthew Stafford or Kaepernick or RG3 in like the 6th round and really load up on your running backs early.
When you have 15 rounds, where do you think is the sweet spot to get the quarterback?
10 players in your league?
12.
Well, don't be afraid to be the 10th person or the 9th person to take a quarterback. So it depends on how your draft plays out. If 5 quarterbacks are gone in the 5th round and there's still 4 or 5 more good guys, I would maybe take one in the 7th or 8th round. Okay. Todd, make sense?
Yeah, it all depends. I mean, you play with the same guys again?
Yep.
Oh,
so that changes everything we were just talking about, because you might have the same kind of guys grabbing Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers before your 4th pick then, potentially.
Right.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I agree with Bill. You got to just kind of see how the draft plays out and be ready to strike. There are 10 or 11 quality – really 12, Bill. There's really 12 quality quarterbacks this year. So it just depends upon, you know, when they all start going and flying off the board. You know, you want to be that 8th, 9th, 10th guy to take a quarterback, in my view.
Exactly. All right, Pratt. Best of luck. We appreciate the call. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. webradio@patriots.com. Let's get back to the emails. We have Craig in Jupiter, Florida, has a couple questions for us. He's in a standard scoring league, Todd. He doesn't know. In his 12-team league, he has the number one pick, so he's probably going to go Peterson, but he doesn't know who to take in the second and third rounds, and he's assuming that a lot of the solid running backs, those mid-tier, maybe 10th through 15 running backs, are gone by the time he's up on the clock in the second and third round.
So what do you think? I mean, he's...
He's asking us if he should try to swap out of the draft order someone with a later pick just to get a higher second-round pick. That means he's sacrificing Adrian Peterson, and since he's in a standard traditional format, I think Peterson's the guy to go with at number one. And because you have a guy like Peterson, it's okay to take a little bit of a lesser quality back in that second or third round.
I agree. How can you deny what Peterson did last year? And again, I don't think he's going to, you know, produce at the same high level this year, but that was ridiculous last year.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, you can't worry about his injury status or anything anymore. The guy's just a super freak. Take him. If you got a chance, grab him and just thank your lucky stars.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's move on to another email. We've got, who's up next, Todd? Brandon in L.A., 14-team Dynasty League, and we're going to talk about Dynasty Leagues versus Redraft Leagues a little bit later in the show, discuss some strategy we have for those specific Dynasty League formats. So Brandon from L.A. is in a 14-team Dynasty League. They keep about 90% of their roster, so he needs to get rid of some people. He needs to make some cuts, Todd.
Okay.
And he's talking about cutting, or at least, well, this is who he tells us who he has. He has Maurice Jones-Drew, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Danny Woodhead. Would we get rid of any of those running backs?
No.
No way. You got to keep those guys.
14-team dynasty?
Yeah, you got to keep all your running backs.
You got. I mean, those four guys are all productive running backs. No. Even Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he's got too much potential to dump. Or, you know, that's ridiculous. He hasn't even played a snap yet in a real game.
Right. No, you have to keep all those guys. And then one of the wide receivers that he's asking about is Akiem Nicks, who, again, we're going to get into contract year players a little bit later in the show. And Nicks is only 25 years old. He's looking for a big payday at the end of 2013. He's going to be one of those boom or bust picks, but chances are this season he's going to go boom.
Yeah. If he's healthy, he's boom. He's a boom contract year guy. I wouldn't cut him either. So the five guys he mentions, I would keep all of them. If he's keeping 90% of his roster, those guys have to be in that 90%.
Totally agree with that. We have Joaquim from Norway emailing us. He says, "Hi guys, love your show. I really feel that you'll give me the edge I need this year." And he's interested in hearing our thoughts about Dwayne Bowe and Jared Cook. Let's hold off on Jared Cook because he's one of those guys that we're going to jump into when we analyze the our guys. Players for tight ends. But how about Dwayne Bowe, Todd, kind of taking over the number one job or remaining the number one receiver in Kansas City? But Andy Reid's now the head coach, and Alex Smith is now the quarterback.
Yes. Dwayne Bowe figures to have a potential for a big year. Would you agree?
I totally agree with that.
Yes. However, what I'm seeing in the preseason is kind of the opposite of that for some reason. And again, I don't want to read too much into it. They're not really throwing it to him much. I don't really get it. So that's a little bit of just a tiny little red flag. But I drafted Bo last week in one of the leagues where we drafted way too early. So I'm counting on him. And I think in Andy Reid's offense with Alex Smith, who's a competent quarterback in that division where defense is optional, I think Dwayne Bo will be fine. He's a strong wide receiver too for my roster.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Strong wide receiver two. Maybe has potential to be a wide receiver one in a 12-team league.
Yep.
Let's move over to the next emailer, Todd. We have Josh in Charleston, Virginia. Now, the problem I have with Josh's email, he seems like a good guy. He seems like he drafted a good team, but he wants to know who to start in week one already.
Oh.
We don't do week one starters in mid-August. We haven't even gotten to the third week of preseason yet. I have not looked at one matchup for week one. I got to get through the preseason. I'm focused on our cheat sheets. I'm focusing on preparing everyone for their fantasy draft. Josh, I get it, man. You're excited about your team. You already had your draft. You want to get the season started. I'm with you, and I want to help you out, but I'm going to wait until Tuesday before the NFL week one kicks off. Can't do it today, man. There's too much going on, too much to play into. We still got 16 days left. We're still in draft mode, right, Todd?
Absolutely, but I'll tell you this, Josh. I eyeballed your roster, and I like what you've assembled there. Good team.
All right. The next question. I gotta like this one, Todd. The next emailer is from Matt in San Diego. He's got a little bit of a problem, a little bit of a sticky situation.
Uh oh.
His friends are hosting a live 10-team league draft tonight.
Okay.
But his fiance wants him to attend an event with her. He tried everything he can do to get out of it, but it looks like he's going to miss his draft.
What?
Oh,
what's the event?
I don't know. He didn't tell us that.
Ugh.
He says, all I can think of is to tell my buddy to draft for me and give him round-by-round instructions. Since I won't know who's available, I'll just tell him what position to take in each round. My idea is to tell him running back, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, wide receiver.
This happened to me once. Okay.
You know what? It happened to me, too. I'm excited to hear your story because I think mine might be a little bit more interesting.
Well,
go on.
Mine's not very exciting. Mine's a kid thing. I had a kid, you know, we planned our draft months ahead of time. Turned out my kid had an all-day out-of-town thing I had to go to. So you can't do a round-by-round thing.
No.
What you can do is this. You tell your confidant, you know, who's an opponent in your league, by the way.
No, it has to be someone not in the league, right? Has to be.
Yeah, I couldn't. I had to find a guy after the league. So I think I was like the ninth pick that year or 10th or something. So I picked one of my buds. I know all these guys pretty well. So I had to pick one of my guys who's at the top of the draft. So
right,
that
opposite of you.
Yeah, so that's number one. You got to find a guy who has, you know, he's not around 2, 3, 4 picks away from you. He needs to be at the opposite end, hopefully.
Totally.
That's number one. And all I could really tell him was I had to give him a cheat sheet, okay? It's kind of like planning a wedding. You know how when you plan a wedding, you tell the DJ the do not playlist? Like, never play these songs. I don't care what you play. You're not playing these songs.
Right.
You know? Here are the songs I like. Here are the songs I don't. Other than that, you know, go off of this. That's kind of what I did here. I said, okay. I don't want any part of these five guys, no matter where they drop to me. Don't take them. These five guys, I'm willing to take a little higher than normal. But here's my cheat sheet. And what I also told him was, here's what I want to do in the first three rounds, you know, running back, running back, wide receiver. But after that, you can't, you know, there's not much you can do. You can just kind of give little strategies, like we advised the last caller, right? I told my bud, again, go running. Out of the first three rounds, I want to go running back, wide receiver, you know, and don't give me a quarterback until 6 or 7 are off the board, you know? So you just give him the basic strategies, you know, don't draft a defense until the second to last round. Don't draft a kicker until the last round. And then you just, hopefully you get, you know, a decent team out of it. It's a terrible situation. It's awful.
Matt, you have to tell her, listen, she's your fiance. She's not your girlfriend. She's not going to call off the wedding if you don't go to this event with her tonight. You have to skip the event. You have to go to your draft. That's my advice in this situation. Don't blow off your draft. Blow off your fiance. Are you going to pay for it for the next couple of weeks? Absolutely. But you know what? You're going to pay for having a bad draft for the next few months. I mean, this is the fantasy football draft. You're probably looking forward to it all season long, and all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to go, and you're going to have someone else pick your squad. Don't do it, my man. Go to the draft. Blow off your fiance. Quickly, Todd, the one time this happened to me, and I was so pissed because my best friend was the commissioner, and he refused to change the date because I was always winning this league, and he figured that if I wasn't going to be there, I wasn't going to have a good team. I was in Australia one year for right around Labor Day weekend, and I did my draft over Skype, but not video Skype, like typing Skype. So I had one of my friends that wasn't in the draft attend and text and Skype me every single pick. So, I don't know. Australia is like a day ahead or a day behind. I forget which one it is. But it was crazy hour in the morning, and I was on Skype trying to, like, keep track of who was picked and who was still on the board. It was crazy, but I still ended up with a good team. But I regret not going to that draft. I mean, you're only in a few drafts every season, and if you're only in one league, it makes it even worse. But you have to go to your draft. So, Matt, I mean, you can play this clip for your fiance and tell her that she needs to forgive you. I mean, this is a guy thing. Girls don't typically understand unless you have a really awesome girl in your life. But she has to get it that this event that you're going to is not as important as the fantasy draft.
Totally agree. I'm telling you, it gets harder when you have kids.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Then it gets really hard.
I can only imagine.
So if you just got a fiance, blow it off. Here's the other thing.
What?
The other thing, Bill, on the opposite side of that spectrum, if someone else is drafting for you, I've done this before. I'm telling you. Let's say, even if you're on opposite ends of the draft order, right?
You're still grabbing players.
Well, you know, if there's a guy that I like and, you know, it's kind of coming up on his cheat sheet too, that same player. You know, I might take a wide receiver instead of a running back because I want to make sure that one guy slides to me.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I just...
It's not really cheating, but it's like, you know, I really like Shane Vereen this year. He could take Shane Vereen here, but I'll take this guy instead. It's almost like Shane. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not a good situation to be in. Definitely not. 855-728-7500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Let's go to Todd in Jacksonville's in a 10-team league. What's going on, Todd? How can we help you today?
Hey, guys. I'm looking for some draft strategy for you from y'all. I'm in a full-point PPR league, and I'm going to be drafting 10 out of 10.
Okay.
This is our first year. We've got keepers going, and right now being kept, we have for running backs, Peterson, Martin, Spiller, Richardson, Charles, Morris, and Ridley.
I didn't hear McCoy, and I didn't hear Ray Rice.
No, so the guys that are going to be back in the pool are Foster, Lynch, Rice, and McCoy.
Foster, Lynch, Rice, McCoy. Okay.
But you're 10th.
10th. So Trent Richardson was actually my guy, and I traded him to move up 5 spots in the first, to move up 5 spots in the third. And so now I'm sitting at pick 5 in the first round, hoping to get one of Foster, Lynch, Rice, or McCoy.
Why did you
trade
Trent?
If I don't get him, would you go to that next tier and grab a running back, or would you pick up Calvin Johnson right there? I'm keeping Dez Bryant and Randall Cobb.
Oh, you don't need Calvin. You need a running back, dude, especially with all those running backs being kept.
Right. And see, but this next tier I have is Steven Jackson, Forte, Sproles, Gore.
Yeah, they're
Chris Johnson, and MJD. And if I took Calvin at 5, then one of those guys would be pushed to me at pick 11.
How do you
be the first pick of the second round?
Oh, you have pick 11 still.
Yeah, because I have the 10th pick. So I made the trade.
Got it.
That was pretty smart. You got 5 and 11. That was a pretty good move, dude. I was questioning why you traded.
And then I got pick 5, which is actually pick 2 in round 3 instead of the last pick in round 3.
Right.
Because people are being kept.
I was questioning why you traded a Trent Richardson, but you actually did maybe pull off a good move here. Because if you do get to draft Calvin, you have to bank on MJD being there at 11, though.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't know if there was between these other guys, if there was much of a difference between them.
So if you take Calvin, maybe Lynch still slides, or you don't think so?
Who slides?
You think Marshawn Lynch still slides at 11 not in a PPR league? It could happen.
Doubt it.
Yeah. Not with keepers, dude.
Yeah.
Although so it's kind of unpredictable. My league mates, they like to draft, you know, Breeze and Rodgers in the first round, too.
You know, Dez Bryant and Randall Cobb in a PPR league, monsters. Both of them are in my top 6. I got Dez Bryant as my 3rd guy, and Randall Cobb is 7. So they're in my top 6.
And one of my guys in my league is keeping Martin and Spiller, and the other guy that's picking 1 has Charles. So I can see them. You know, I tried to go a different route to get around to compete with those guys.
You know, you're going to know on draft day who has what position. If you think people are going to go receiver after you between that 5 and 11 pick, then go Calvin. But otherwise, you know, you might have to take one of those running backs that are still on the board.
Well, here's one last question, though. How active is your trade market in this league? Do people like to trade during the year?
There are a few people that like to trade. Majority of them don't, but there are a couple.
Because, Bill, if he has Dez, Megatron, and Cobb as his top 3 receivers,
he can get rid of one of those guys later down the road.
Man, you might be able to pull off a blockbuster.
Because that's 2 running backs, 2 receivers, and 1 flex, which is a running back or wide receiver.
Right. So you'd still be able to fill in your wide receiver starters, and maybe you pick up your RB2 and your flex by trading Calvin Johnson.
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, he could have 3 of the top 6 wide receivers in a PPR.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty. Monsters.
If you can pull off trades. I'm in some leagues, Bill, where nobody likes to trade. Everyone,
and then
you know,
in other leagues, there's a trade a week.
All over the place. So it kind of depends on your league. And like Bill said, man, if you could still get MJD at 11, someone like that, that's very intriguing. This is a good call. I like this call.
Yeah, Todd, I mean, again, you'll really have to look at your opponent's rosters and figure out if MJD is going to be there for 11, you scoop up Calvin Johnson, no questions asked.
So you would take Calvin.
And then MJD.
And MJD.
Yeah. Full-point PPR, I mean.
If I took Calvin and MJD was gone, one real quick, would you just go a complete reverse route of going running back? I've won this league 2 out of 3 years going running back. But would you go the complete reverse route and take Calvin, then have Calvin, Dez, Cobb, and Jimmy Graham?
No.
Trade bait.
No, I think you need a running back, man. I think you need a running back. Only because these other guys have Doug Martin and C.J. Spiller. They have Jamaal Charles already on their roster. So they're going to already have a one punch, some of them a 1-2 punch. And for you to not have a you know, not even a jab at the running back spot yet, that's just a tough pill to swallow for me. I know Jimmy Graham's dynamite, dude, but you have the difference makers at the receiver position. I believe firmly that running backs are the foundation to fantasy football success.
Yeah.
I really do. Todd, I know you think that Jimmy Graham moves a good pick, but I wouldn't be able to do that.
No, right. That would be insane, but it would be, I'd love to see how it played out for the sake of my show.
I'm a little interested,
I'd love to see him have, you know, three of the top five or six wide receivers, the top tight end in a PPR, and then just load up on running backs, like, for the, you know, for the foreseeable future, try to get the Gio Bernards and the Vereens and Sproles and all those guys and see if he could muster it together and then pull off one trade, see what happens. That'd be very, very interesting, but not if there's money on the line. That changes the ballgame a little bit.
Yeah. Todd, what kind of league is this? Competitive league? All your buddies? A lot of cash at hand?
It's a decent amount. You know, it's all work buddies.
Yeah. So
it's pretty competitive.
So you talk trash to each other pretty consistently.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man.
So,
you know, and then of course,
Bryce McCoy's there. You take him, one of those, over Calvin. If they're not, take Calvin and see you.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I was thinking, guys.
All right, best of luck to you, Todd, and thanks for the call. Interesting situation there for him, Todd. Very interesting.
I did something like that once years ago.
Yeah.
The way things fell, I was just so tempted, and I just tried to pull it off. And I was able to have a good year. But it was dicey, man. I mean, because what happened was, after my 11th pick, in his case, his 11th pick, you know, it went all the way down. It all sneaks all the way down, all the way back up. Like, the running backs that I was choosing from were really slim.
Right.
Really bad. Really
and,
bad.
You know, even Dez Bryant, even Calvin Johnson will have those. They're not going to be many of them, but they will have those 3 or 4 point weeks where you lose. You lose if that's the, you know, 1-2 combo on your team. You lose that week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, he would have to try to trade one of those guys.
Yeah. I agree.
Which you could do. I mean, if you have Megatron and Cobb and Dez Bryant goes off in week one, like he probably will, you know, and has a 11 catch, 180-yard, 2-touchdown game and his value is super high,
yeah,
you could pop. Maybe you can get a top 12 running back for him. You know, who knows?
Right. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you on Patriots.com Radio. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs. Todd, we didn't get to the Our Guys list, but don't worry. We will reveal it in the next segment. A lot of emails, a lot of calls. We love that. We're going to take a quick break, come back with the Our Guys list that you can find on the FFChamps.com. You're listening to the Patriots.com Radio.
Winning made easy with FFChamps.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card.
So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Yeah, baby, another hour of the Fantasy Football Champs here on Patriots.com Radio. Bill, Todd, and Kevin hanging out with you, taking your phone calls at 855-728-7500. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Webradio@Patriots.com is the email address. And if by chance you're not listening to this show live, hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. You can follow Todd, at CFFGeek. And you can follow myself at Bill Enright. We are constantly helping people out on Twitter for those of you who are listening on demand. Todd, what do you say we kick it back to the phone lines where Brandon in California is waiting to talk about his 14-team PPR league? What's going on, Brandon?
Oh, hey, nothing much, guys. I emailed in earlier, and, you know, my question was kind of misinterpreted a little bit, so I just want to clear stuff up.
No problem. Fire away.
That's probably my fault.
It's okay. I have four running backs, and it's a dynasty league, and, you know, every decision that I make is really crucial because I'm keeping the same roster from year to year. So I want to know if this is, like, a good selling point to start selling players for maybe the future. So, like, I had DeMarco Murray, Maurice Jones-Drew, Le'Veon Bell, and Danny Woodhead. I was wondering if you would advise maybe selling one of those players to maybe build for the future.
Oh, so when you said getting rid of, you didn't mean just dumping and making roster cuts. You meant, trading them off to your opponents.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the question is, who do your opponents have that you'd want to receive either draft picks or players? I mean, is there someone out there that you think would jump on DeMarco Murray at this point?
Well, I don't know, because I have DeMarco Murray and I have his two backups just in case he gets hurt.
Right.
But I could use a quarterback, and because I have Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger, and they're not exactly top tier, even really two second tier quarterbacks. So I was wondering if I should jump on maybe one of those top end quarterbacks.
You know, you're in a 14 team league, so I think the running backs you have, considering the amount of opponents you have, are pretty good. Le'Veon Bell could be the future of the franchise for the Steelers. Yeah, he's a little bit banged up here in preseason, but that's not to say that it's going to stay that way for the rest of his career.
Yeah, just like, my starting running back, because we had our rookie draft about a month ago. So my first two running backs were absolutely plagued with injuries last year, so I was wondering if maybe this is where Maurice Jones-Drew starts to kind of go down a little bit. So I was wondering if maybe he was one of those guys that you would advise, like, getting rid of before he goes down.
Todd, you can disagree with me if you want, but I'm not ready to give up on MJD yet. He's only 27.
Especially for a quarterback. That's
not for a QB, man. I mean, why? MJD is the number one running back on your team. DeMarco Murray's not there yet. Le'Veon Bell's not there yet. And Danny Woodhead is maybe a good flex option. So if you get rid of MJD for a quarterback, you're really hurting your running backs, man. Really are.
My other question was on Hakeem Nicks, because he's coming off of injury plague season last year. He's in a contract year. His future's kind of uncertain with the Giants. So I was wondering if it was time to either get rid of him or trade him away as well.
It depends on if your league is hot or cold on him. Because here's what can happen to Hakeem Nicks. He can have a great season and then end up on the friggin' Raiders next year, which would really hurt his longtime stock. So if people are high on him in your league, it might be a good way to get rid of him. It might be a good idea to get rid of him now. Todd, you follow what I'm saying there?
I know what you're saying. The thing we touched on earlier, though, Bill, Nicks and MJD, I mean, they're contract year guys, man.
Right. But I'm saying Nicks could be a guy that next year isn't on the Giants anymore. He doesn't have Eli Manning. He has... Matt Flynn.
Or he's on the Ravens.
Yeah, it could work either way.
All right, same with MJD. MJD could find, he could be resurrected somewhere else next year, too.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are kind of, I should pretty much keep these players and see what happens.
Yeah, I would.
I would, man. I mean, again, unless you could, if the only thing I would do here is if you're able to package a Big Ben or, Flacco and Big Ben are your two quarterbacks, right? Package one of them with maybe a DeMarco Murray to upgrade your quarterback. Maybe something like that I might do. I wouldn't trade MJD. I wouldn't trade Nicks. Not in a 14-team dynasty.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't do it. They're both relatively young still. Yeah, they're both coming off bad years, but we've been preaching it, Bill. You got to hold on or draft for value the guys that are going to rebound. And these are two guys that should rebound.
Yep.
All right,
Brandon.
Good.
No problem, Brandon. We appreciate the call. Best of luck in your... Well, I guess you already had your draft. Best of luck in your 2013 season. Let's kick it back to the emails, Todd. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address here. We have Mike in New York City who has already completed his draft. He was in a 12-team PPR league, and he's a little bit worried about his wide receivers. He's got Stephen Ridley, Marshawn Lynch as his running backs, two quality guys that both of us like. He's got Jimmy Graham as his tight ends, as his tight end, but his receivers are lacking a little bit. Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, and Steve Smith, who he says is from Buffalo, but he's not. He's from Carolina. Unless there's a Steve Smith I don't know about.
Well, the second, where's the second Steve Smith?
He retired.
Okay.
It's got to be Steve Smith from Carolina.
Let's hope.
Also, yeah, let's hope. He warns us. He says, listen, I'm a little bit sorry if I butchered the names. And he did butcher some of them, including Giovanni Pierce of the Bengals. He's either talking about Bernard Pierce of the Ravens or Giovanni Bernard from the Bengals. I'm assuming that he's talking about Giovanni Bernard from the Bengals.
Yes.
All right. So his question is whether or not he should be satisfied with these receivers or if he should try to make some kind of deal where he gets a Kembrell Tompkins or Giovanni Bernard. Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Steve Smith from Carolina in a 12-team PPR league.
So what's he want to do? He wants to dump one of them for Kembrell Tompkins?
I don't know. Am I better off playing a Kembrell Tompkins who will be a number two wide receiver with the greatest living American throwing to him? Those are his words. Or a Giovanni Bernard, he meant to say, of the Bengals, who was looking nice in preseason.
Then one of looking, those three guys?
I don't know what he's, you know, I don't really know what he's asking here. It looks like he's asking, should he be worried about his wide receivers, or is he better off, you know, using Kembrell Tompkins this season or Giovanni Bernard in the flex? That's what he's asking.
I think. All right. Well, I'm down on Greg Jennings, so I agree with him. I don't like Greg Jennings at all.
Yeah.
I won't have him on any of my teams.
No.
Jordy Nelson is fine when he's healthy, of course. He's not healthy right now. He should be fine week one or week two, we hope, right?
Right.
We hope.
Well, that's what we think.
Of the Carolina Panthers, not Buffalo Bills. Or maybe he's talking about Stevie Johnson of Buffalo.
Oh, Stevie Johnson of Buffalo. I don't know. Mike in New York City, you got to help us out here.
You know what's funny? He butchered all the names, but he got the hardest one right, Kembrell Tompkins.
Yeah. Well, he's a Patriots fan, apparently, because he considers Tom Brady the greatest living American.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am kind of down on your receivers just a little bit. I love Giovanni Bernard. If you put him in the flex, I'm all for it. Kembrell Tompkins, take a late-run flyer on him. I'm not really sure what you're asking, but those are my thoughts on those players.
Mike just sent us another email. Giovanni Bernard, Bengals, Stevie Johnson, Buffalo. I'm an idiot. Sorry. Mike, you're not an idiot, but I'll tell you what, probably just easier to call in, 855-728-7500, and get some clarification, because we don't really know what you're asking here. It seems like you want to know who... You want to know how bad your receivers are and who you should be in your starting lineup. We'll be happy to help you out. You just got to make some clarifications here. Let's move on to Dan Martin, who has a PPR question, Todd.
Okay.
He says he's a fan of the show. He's never been in a league that was fewer than 10 teams, but this year he's in an 18 league.
Eight.
Yeah, eight.
Not 18, eight.
No, eight. Eight-team league. Eight okay. teams. He's projecting that with the seventh pick, he's going to have either Arian Foster or Trent Richardson and possibly Marshawn Lynch. But on the way back, there could be some top flight receivers left at 10. Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude. It's only 10 players off the board. Of course there's going to be some top flight receivers there.
Okay.
His question is, where it's a small league, would it make sense to take one of those wideouts early or stay the course and take another back like Reggie Bush? Listen, eight, I'm sorry. I'm not. I really don't mean to sound like a jerk, but an eight-team league, it's a joke. So if you know what you're doing in terms of fantasy football, you can just draft a Pro Bowl caliber team with the top talent at every position. If the people in your league know what you're doing, you're still gonna have a great roster. You know, you could have Trent Richardson and Marshawn Lynch on the same team, and maybe even get AJ Green or Dez Bryant. So. When you're drafting only with eight other people or seven other people, your roster is going to be loaded, dude. You know? So should he go with a wide receiver in the second round? Yeah, if he wants. I would rather go with a running back because wide receivers are deep and you're only drafting with, you know, eight total people.
Yeah, and you probably only start two wide receivers, maybe three in a flex.
Right.
So you're talking about everyone's going to have two of the top 16.
And I'm not going Reggie Bush in the second round. You might be able to get him in the third round.
He's in the PPR, but even in the PPR, I'm not going Reggie Bush the second round.
So, Dan, we appreciate your question, but, you know, you're going to have a loaded team, dude. Don't worry about it. Second round pick is the least of your concerns. Don't draft a quarterback early, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get one of the top eight no matter what you do. So
you're
just
get
wait.
Andrew Luck. You'll be the last person to take a quarterback. You get Andrew Luck.
Or Cam Newton or Kaepernick.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Eight quarterbacks. Breeze 1, Manning 2, Rodgers 3, Brady 4, Ryan 5, Stafford 6, Kaepernick 7, Newton 8, Luck 9, RG3 10, Romo 11.
Right.
Yeah, so just wait until the end to take 100%. A quarterback.
All right, I believe we have Mike in New York City on the line. He's going to clarify his question from before.
Yes.
Mike, what's going on, dude?
Hey, guys, how are you?
So let's start from the beginning here.
Yeah.
We appreciate the email, but let's clarify who exactly is on your team.
Okay. So I got a bunch of guys. What I'm going to focus on is my bad wide receiving core, which consists of Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, and you guys – finally figured out Steve Johnson from Buffalo.
Right.
Okay, so my question to you guys was, I don't like really any of those guys. I stacked up on running backs early on, and I got stuck with them.
Who are your running backs? We got to know your running backs.
Lynch and Ridley.
Well, I got Marshawn Lynch and Stephen Ridley starting, but I have, my question was, I have Giovanni Bernard from Cincinnati sitting on my bench.
Okay.
And I'm in a PPR league, so I'm thinking, do I sit one of those kind of like, you know, underwhelming receivers for a guy who hasn't really been proven, and I don't even know how much time he's going to get with the law firm playing on Cincinnati, or do I just hope in a PPR league those guys will get a lot of touches? Because, I mean, they're not great, but they're the number one receivers, right, on their teams for the most part, even though the quarterbacks aren't, with obviously the exception of Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, and Steve Johnson don't have anyone great thrown to him.
Right.
So it comes down to this, Bill. He's basically asking who should he play in the flex? Should he play one of his three crappy receivers, or should he play Gio in the flex?
I typically always go running back over wide receivers in the flex.
I think this too, Bill. I think Gio is going to be better as the season goes on.
Right.
So at the beginning of the, you know, I understand his trepidation. Your trepidation might, because, you know, week one, you don't know how many touches Gio's going to get. You know, he might get 7 rushes and 2 catches. I mean, who knows, right?
Right.
But what we think is going to happen is over time, whether it's week 2, week 4, week 8, whatever, over time, Gio is going to become a bigger part of that offense. It's a good-looking, up-and-coming offense. So I think that over time, this will be a no-brainer for you to play Gio in the slot. But I guess the first couple weeks is really the question, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're not really doing in-season stuff just yet because we haven't looked at matchups yet, but just as a rule of thumb, I tend to go running backs over wide receivers in the flex.
Yeah.
Unless you're stacked a wide receiver, which it doesn't seem like you are at this point.
No.
Yeah, no.
Stevie Johnson's pretty hurt, man, and so is Jordy Nelson. So do you have Tompkins on your team?
Yeah, he's on my bench, too. That's the other thing. You know, I know you guys don't want to go too far and you know, regular season matchups, but I got Tompkins on my bench too, and I'm thinking he's another guy who I don't know how much he's going to get, how many looks he's going to get, you know, being new, but, you know, with the Patriots' lack of wide receiver and Tom Brady, you know, I've been watching the Patriots since I was a little kid, and never really seems who's playing, you know, it never really seems to matter who's playing wide receiver. Gets on the ball, so I'm thinking he might be a good sleeper. But
he might be. I mean, and Mike, I mean, you might be forced to play Kembrell Tompkins if
Nelson
and Stevie J are out. You might have Jennings and Tompkins as your wide receivers and Gio in the flex because you have to, you know?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Best of luck, Mike, and thanks for calling in and clarifying your situation.
All right. Thanks for the help, guys.
Take care.
We finally got to the bottom of it, Bill.
Yeah, see, that wasn't that.
It's a flex question.
It took 2 emails and a phone call.
We got it. I like it.
He was on top of it. It mattered, you know. He wanted to make sure that he got everything correct.
Every week we will help Mike out. We will help him win his titles, no doubt about it.
And we're going to start by, you know, getting him to name his right players.
Hey, if Jordy Nelson comes back healthy in week 2 or 3, you know, he can work with that lineup. Agreed?
Yeah.
Lynch and Ridley's not, that's a good 1-2 punch. Geo as a hot flex? No?
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham? He's got the top tight end?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with his running backs.
No. I'm just saying, I mean, I can't stand Greg Jennings this year, but if Jordy, it kind of comes down to Jordy Nelson. If he comes back healthy and does what he normally does, he'll find another wide receiver to plug in his lineup.
Yeah, I agree with that. Todd, you know, we had a lot of emails, a lot of callers. I really want to get to this, the Our Guys list. It's so important. It's the members at ffchamps.com look forward to it every year. I think we'd be doing a big disservice to the people listening on patriots.com radio if we didn't get to it.
All right, let's do it.
Do we have time to get to it now, Kevin, or should we take a break and then come back at 5:30?
You can get to it now. The people have waited long enough.
All right, the people have waited long enough. So, Todd, let's just explain what the term means for our guys. It's basically players that we have ranked higher on our cheat sheets than some of the other so-called experts in the industry. These are guys that we want on our teams and we're willing to reach a little bit based on their ADP just to ensure that we get them on our roster.
Yeah, these are not long shot sleepers. We do include those on some of our sleeper articles as well. These are guys who we want on our teams. It's basically as simple as that. We're willing to grab them a little higher than the norm.
Exactly. And you can find the list for running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends over at ffchamps.com. Let's start it off with the running backs, Todd, and we talked about him a little bit in the show. Maurice Jones-Drew, 27 years old, coming off an injury, heading into the final year of his contract, was a top five fantasy running back throughout his entire career, but now all of a sudden people are a little down on him because he's coming off that injury and he plays for the Jaguars.
Bad year last year, right? This is what we like in fantasy. As long as the guy's healthy, he's on a terrible team, and we know that. But this guy's coming off a bad year. Everybody's down on MJD. Everybody, right? It's not like he's 32 years old. He's 27. He's going to get the rock a lot. He's a guy that you could get lower. I mean, like you said, he could put up top five numbers. You just don't know. And you're going to get him where? Bottom of the second round?
Early in the third, quality number two running back, and
sign me
has
up.
The potential to be your RB1.
Sign me up, man.
Yes, yeah.
We look for it all the time, Bill. The guys that are going to rebound. You know, 2 years ago, this guy rushed for 1,600 yards, 374 receiving yards, so basically 2,000 yards and 11 total touchdowns.
Yep.
That's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So... the year before that, by the way, almost 1,700 yards. So 1,700, 2,000 yards. He had a bad year last year. He could very easily put up 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 yards again this year if he's healthy.
That's why he's on the Our Guys list.
Because
he's a quality running back that you're getting as your RB2, but he puts up RB1 stats.
Yep.
All right, now the next two guys are PPR really – difference makers. And what I mean by that is Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles, they catch a lot of passes. They are like vacuums with receptions, just sucking on all these little check down passes. So in a PPR format, they're definitely on this Our Guys list because they go from maybe a 25 or a 26 ranked running back to inside the top 15 purely on the fact they get points per reception.
Right. Reggie Bush, the last couple of years, finally, Bill, kind of started to live up to all of his hype from USC. He rushed for basically 1,000 yards and 1,100 yards the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But he catches the ball.
Yep.
On the Miami Dolphins, he caught 35 balls, 43 balls, 34 balls the last 3 years, which we think is going to go up a lot more than that, being in the offense he's going to be in.
Better offense, much better quarterback. Much better receiver drawing away defenses with Calvin Johnson.
Totally agree. So, I think Reggie Bush is a guy who I think he has the potential to have his best season yet, fantasy-wise.
And then how about Darren Sproles with the New Orleans Saints?
Hey, it's Darren Sproles every year. He's undervalued a little bit, even in PPR leagues, because he doesn't get a lot of rushing yards.
Right. He may only have 500 rushing yards, but if he has 650 receiving yards, all of a sudden you're looking at 1,000 yards from scrimmage. Add in the receptions, he's capable of catching 75, 80 passes this year. And he gets, a handful of touchdowns, maybe half a dozen.
Last 3 years, 59, 86, and 75 Crazy. Receptions. If you're in a full-point PPR, that's major.
Yeah. You really – when it comes to receptions, I'm not afraid to admit it. Or when it comes to a PPR running back, Darren Sproles, big-time man crush on him. One of my favorite modern-day fantasy football players in the PPR format.
Gotcha. How about another guy that's going to look pretty good in the PPR format this year? Shane Vereen.
And we're not saying anything new to Patriot fans that are listening to the show today. You've seen what he done in the you've seen what he did last year in the playoffs. You've seen what he's done this year in the preseason. Shane Vereen is going to be used all over the field. Tom Brady's going to throw the ball to him a lot, and he's going to get a lot of carries to boot. If Danny Woodhead could be a top 25 running back in the PPR format, Shane Vereen could be a top 15 running back.
Totally agree. And the nice thing about Vereen is there's upside. You aren't really sure how many balls he'll catch. You know, it could be 60 or 70. You aren't really sure, which is kind of, let's be honest, Bill, it's kind of fun to grab a guy that has upside that's kind of limitless, you know?
Yep.
So he's an interesting guy. Love to put him in the flex in a PPR league. Shane Vereen is definitely a guy that I'm trying to grab on all my rosters.
The final guy that we're going to mention, Todd, is your favorite rookie running back in this year's class, Gio Bernard from the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a little bit of a shame that he's featured so much on Hard Knocks because I think the bandwagon is starting to fill up already. But that being said, we're really excited about what he can do this season.
Yeah, Bill, he's kind of a Brian Westbrook-type player. He's electric. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can return punts. He can do it all. And he fits in it. He lands in a good spot, a good and bad spot, right? It's not like Doug Martin last year, rookie, who landed in Tampa Bay where he had no competition virtually, right?
Right.
Here he lands with a guy where he's going to wind up being a quote-unquote backup running back to start the season. He's got Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, you know, manning the top slot. But let's be honest. I mean, this guy's got electric playmaking capability, and it's just a matter of time before he sees more and more carries and receptions throughout the year. I mean, in college, Bill, all right, in college at North Carolina last year, the last 2 years, super consistent. 1,253 rushing yards, 1,228 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns. That's as consistent as you can get, okay?
Yeah.
Receptions last 2 years, 45, 47. And that's in a 12-game season.
Right.
So, again, the point there is he can catch it. He's going to be great in PPR formats. He's electric. He can break the big one. So, and if you get points for special teams, at least this year, because I don't think he'll be playing special teams too much in the future, he can return a punt or kickoff for you as well.
All right, so that wraps up the running backs who may be our guys listen. Again, it's 50% off for Patriots.com listeners, $29.95 at FFChamps.com. You get everything that we do in the preseason, our draft kit, our rankings, our articles, and then you also get everything that we do in the regular season, weekly rankings, rest of the way rankings, strength of schedule, all that fun expert advice, one-on-one stuff that we do that really separates ourselves from the rest of the people that kind of try to do the same thing as we do. Let's move on to the wide receivers, Todd. We got Randall Cobb from the Green Bay Packers. He's a player that filled in kind of on a limited role last year when Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings were hurt. But now I think he's going to take over as the number one wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers.
Quietly racked up 80 catches for 954 yards and 8 touchdowns last year, Bill.
You're right.
You know, and he wasn't like the featured guy, really, until the end. So,
I think he will be this year.
Exactly. He's a guy that's on the uptick, and, you know, we have him ranked, what, number six or seven?
Yep. I think number seven. Six on the PPR.
PPR number six, okay. And he's a guy that he might actually slip a little bit further because he's kind of he hasn't really been established yet when you compare his name to Larry Fitzgerald or Vincent Jackson. You know,
right?
Who have been around a while. Randall Cobb, for guys in your league, if you're in a league where guys are drafting on name recognition, Randall Cobb might slip a few spots lower than he should. But this is a guy that, Bill, if you can snag him, first of all, I'd be comfortable with him as a wide receiver one. Would you as well?
100%.
Okay. And if you could get him as a low or as a super high-end wide receiver two, more power to you. And that might be possible in some leagues. We'll see.
Oh, absolutely. Because the way you do it, if you're in a 10 or 12-team league and you have a wraparound pick, maybe you take Adrian Peterson with your first pick, and then you got a guy like Randall Cobb and Demaryius Thomas as your wide receiver one and wide receiver two in the second and third round.
Yeah, a lot of upside with Cobb. Just look at what the top receivers have done for the Packers in the past. And if he's the number one guy, which he should be, he's going to be huge.
Now, we're going to name another Patriots player here, and it's not just because we're on Patriots.com radio. It's because we love what we've seen from this type of position for the Patriots. And when I say position, I mean that slot guy. Previous years it was Wes Welker. Now it's going to be Danny Amendola. And Tom Brady looks at this guy a lot. They seem to have pretty good chemistry in the first couple preseason games. So even with Danny Amendola not practicing the last 2 days, we still have him on the Our Guys list at ffchamps.com.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we're saying here is this. We all know that he's injury prone, right?
Right.
We all know that. And we're still willing to grab him, put him on our roster, and hope for the best. Because if he does play, he's going to be lights out. You know, it's as simple as that. So do you want a guy like that that has this upside, or, you know, do you want to take a kind of a boring, safe player? That's the decision you're going to have to make in those middle rounds, Bill. I mean, Tony Amendola's ADP, average draft position right now, is like bottom of the fourth round, early fifth.
Right, 4-11.
Yep. So that's the decision you're going to be faced with. You know, do you want to take a guy with huge upside who is a little bit injury prone, or do you want to take somebody who you kind of know what you might get, you know, maybe like a Marquise Colston or someone like that, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Where you know, you can look at Colston's stats, you know exactly what you're getting from him if he's healthy, but with Amendola, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and that's why we kind of like him to just, you know, start right from where Wes Welker left off. I mean, they're very similar players. The only thing that is different is Welker was always healthy.
Yeah.
Took a beating, got right back up, and you know, stayed in the game.
Yep.
How about T.Y. Hilton from the Indianapolis Colts, Todd? We love this guy as a rookie. Love him even more as a second-year wide receiver.
I think he's just going to keep growing along with Andrew Luck, you know? They came in together, the same rookie class. He did some nice things as a rookie. He had some big games. I'm counting them up here. He had 5 100-yard games, Bill. Only 50 catches on the season. He's not going to be a PPR machine. He's going to catch long-range balls. He's going to make big plays in the open field. He's going to catch some. I think he's going to increase that touchdown total. He had 7 touchdowns last year receiving, Bill.
Yeah.
I think that he's going to get more looks this year as Reggie Wayne continues to do what he does on the other side of the field.
Yep.
He's going to see one-on-one coverage. He's a mismatch, a nightmare mismatch for defenses. So, again, he's not going to catch 100 balls, T.Y. Hilton, but he might catch 60 or 70 with a ridiculous yard per catch average, and he might be able to get you 10 touchdowns this year with the Colts. I love Andrew Luck. I think he's going to be a monster for the next decade, and T.Y. Hilton's going to be along for the ride.
Absolutely. That's why we're trying to target T.Y., as if you get him as your third wide receiver, you should still be pretty confident in his ability.
Absolutely.
How about Torrey Smith from the Baltimore Ravens, Todd? No Anquan Boldin, no Dennis Pitta. Joe Flacco's got to throw to somebody, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Joe Flacco, you know, you can knock him. And during the regular season, I think, what, he was like the 15th best fantasy wide or fantasy quarterback?
Yeah.
Nothing special. But, man, he lit it up in the postseason, as we all know. Torrey Smith is basically the only returning receiver, you know? We talk all about the Patriots and how they lost all their receivers. Well, you know, the Ravens lost Dennis Pitta, and they lost Anquan Boldin, which are huge losses. Torrey Smith is still here. He's kind of like T.Y. Hilton, Bill, and he almost has the exact same stat line. He has almost exactly the same stat line, 49 catches, 855 yards, 8 touchdowns, and he's a big play threat. He's a super fast guy. He's not going to catch 100 balls, but just like Hilton, he's got a quality quarterback. And he's the number one receiver on his team, unlike Hilton. So
right.
I think he could really build on those numbers from last year.
And you know what? It's a little bit more than just they don't have anyone. The Ravens need him to play up to an elite level this year.
Like, yeah.
He's their guy. They don't have the luxury like the Patriots do, where they got to pick, you know, Danny Amendola up off free agency and drafted 2 quality wide receivers who we think are going to step up big time in year one. The Ravens have Jacoby Jones, who last time I checked, like, got hurt participating on Dancing with the Stars. And I'm not making a joke. I really think that's what happened to him. And he's more of a kick return specialist. They don't have good receivers. So Torrey Smith, it's him or nothing. And they're going to pass the football, and Ray Rice will be involved, but it's going to be Torrey Smith from the receiver standpoint.
Totally agree. How about we talk about Chris Givens, an underrated guy for the St. Louis Rams. Chris Givens, Bill, flying under the radar on draft day.
He certainly is, Todd. I think he's getting a little bit overshadowed by his rookie teammate, Tavon Austin. We all know the Rams made a big effort to get Austin in this year's draft. They traded away a couple picks in order to move up to the eighth spot. So Tavon Austin getting a lot of the media attention, a lot of the fan attention, but Chris Givens, second year with Sam Bradford, same offensive scheme. I think he developed a lot this training camp in terms of his route running and kind of developing more precision with his route tree. So for him to be in the second year with Bradford, he's not just going to be a deep flyer anymore. We saw it a little bit in the preseason already. He's going to make some big plays, but he's going to be used all over the field.
Yeah, and again, right now he's a 10th round. He's a 10th round average draft position. So if you can get him as a wide receiver 3 or 4, Bill,
great value.
You've got great value there with some upside, and yep. You know, this is kind of a make or break year for Sam Bradford too. So we'll see what happens. But Givens is a guy that he's not a real sexy pick. There aren't a lot of people like that have to have him, and that plays to your advantage.
Yeah, especially with you think about these guys, all of them, we really love their upside.
Yeah, well, that's the consistent theme here with these guys.
Yeah. All right, finally, let's go over some tight ends, Todd. We'll stick with the St. Louis Rams. Jared Cook, when he was with the Titans, they really did not take advantage of his skill set. I think that's going to change now that he's playing in St. Louis. I'm excited to see Jared Cook play in 2013.
Yeah, and it's a down year for tight ends. You know, they're all hurt or arrested. So,
yep.
You know, there's not much to choose from after Jimmy Graham and Gonzo, Vernon Davis, and Witten. You got those four. You got Gronk, who's, you know, on the shelf. He'll obviously be drafted high anyway. Those five guys, and then there's kind of everyone else. You know, I mean, it could be anyone that winds up being the sixth best tight end this year in the world of fantasy football. And why not Cook? He looks good in the preseason. So, there's a jumbled mess in that next tier of wide receivers, and you might be able to get Cook pretty late in your draft. I mean, he's like a late eighth, early ninth round pick right now?
Yep. 8.11 is his ADP, so you figure eighth or ninth round.
Yeah, and that seems high to me, too. I got him a little later than that in my draft. Maybe that's why I'm thinking that. I think I got him in the 11th or 12th round.
Not bad.
Yep.
How about Jordan Cameron from the Cleveland Browns, Todd? I think a lot of people had him as one of those players that was going to fly under the radar until the start of the regular season. That all flew out the window when he caught two touchdown passes in their second preseason game. We know their offensive coordinator, North Turner, has done a great job with converting former college basketball players into quality tight ends in the NFL. Look at what he did with Antonio Gates. Jordan Cameron fits that mold. Former college basketball player, he's tall, he's big, he's athletic, and he has soft hands. We're expecting some big things from Cameron this year.
Does he have Drew Brees throwing it to him?
No, he doesn't have Drew Brees throwing it to him.
Hey, this guy has improved his fantasy draft stock arguably more than anyone in the past, 10 days?
Yeah.
He's been on fire, and he's not going to go undrafted any longer. Right?
No, definitely not. Not undrafted.
He's going to get picked up in every league now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, there's upside there with him. We're willing to roll the dice with him. In the league that I drafted in, again, we drafted way too early. We broke our own rule. I'm not the commissioner of this league, but our draft happened like 10 days ago. He went undrafted, you know, because no one had seen him yet.
And now all of a sudden everyone's scrambling to pick him up.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a guy that, again, in the jumbled mess of that next tier of wide receivers, he's a guy like Cook who could, outperform his draft position. Right now, his ADP is 13, but I think that that's probably skewed based upon the early drafts that were out there. I think he's probably higher than that now.
All right, the final tight end on the guys list at FFChamps.com. And, Kevin, feel free to jump in and kind of join this debate because Todd and I are going back and forth a little bit with this one. Zach Sudfeld from the Pats. What do you make of him? What is everyone saying up there in training camp at Gillette?
No, he's definitely been the best tight end so far that we have on the field in camp. Did you guys get a chance to see that last preseason game, the Tampa game?
Yep.
Yeah.
The crazy juggling catch he made?
Yep.
Yeah, that was all the rage up here this past week. Especially, you know, I thought that a guy like Jake Ballard would be more competitive than he's been. He's been really slow and really plodding. And it definitely looks like that injury has affected him in terms of his long-term outlook. I would argue that he's probably three or four on the depth chart. I would argue that Michael, don't make me say the last name, Humanawanui, I believe, is the correct pronunciation.
That's pretty good, Kev.
They call him Who-Man here. So I would argue that he's probably second in line behind Sudfeld in terms of seeing reps and being productive in practice. But, yeah, Sudfeld's definitely getting a good look, and a guy like Daniel Fells, for example, has been, you know, kind of a little bit unable to stay on the field after the first preseason game. He's been banged up. I believe the Twitter world said that he was kind of off to the side in practice today, really not participating, kind of on the exercise bike. So I think Sudfeld is looking like a lock to make the team and be a pretty valuable contributor, at least for the first part of the year when Gronk's not here. But even when Gronk comes back, they run so many sets with multiple tight ends. I mean, he might be a guy that has serious value throughout the season if he stays healthy.
What do you think there, Bill?
That's my take.
I'm in full agreement with Kevin on this one, Todd. I think even with Gronk healthy, we know the Patriots like to run two tight end sets. Now, they did that with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. Hernandez, clearly, different type of skill set than what Sudfeld's offering. But just because, you know, Hernandez isn't around doesn't mean they're going to go away from that two tight end set. Maybe Gronk is the one that's kind of lined up a little bit out wide, and Sudfeld's more the traditional tight end position. And we don't know if Gronk's going to be healthy if the start of the season, in the first month of the season, the first six games of the season. So I absolutely think Sudfeld is worth a draft pick. And the reason why we have him on the Our Guys list is because his upside could be so – his potential is huge. And we want guys like that on our team.
Well, think about it. It's kind of – this is coming full circle on the tight end talk because you got the big five, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's just everybody else.
Right.
So with everybody else, there's plenty of average tight ends who are, you know exactly what they're going to do, you know. The Owen Daniels, JerMichael Finley's, Kyle Rudolph types, Gresham, Olsen. Right. Why not go with the three guys that are our guys? Cook, Cameron, and Sudfeld. They've all got the upside, right? They've got the upside to potentially, possibly, crack that top five. You know, it's there. With Sudfeld, the only thing I'm going to warn people of, especially all of our friends in New England that are listening to this show who have their drafts this weekend, Sudfeld's going to get overdrafted, like, big time.
Especially in this market.
Exactly. Think so?
Yeah. Way. He's going to get way overdrafted. Yeah. So don't go crazy.
Yeah, don't reach.
Yeah, don't go insane. And that's what's happening. He's so red hot right now. He and Cameron both, actually. They're
right.
So red hot right now. He's going to go way higher than he should. Because, you know, if Gronk is out for the year, you know, but she's not. But if he was, that changes things a little bit. You know, maybe you can reach for him a little bit. But we don't know. I think that, you know, when Gronk comes back, yes, Sudfeld could certainly be a valuable fantasy tight end, but not at – I mean, I'm hearing some crazy talk about where people are taking this guy right now.
Yeah, well, we don't want to overdraft him just for the fact that he's on the Pats.
No.
So if you're in one of those leagues where all your friends are Patriot fans, you know
– Where would you take him, Bill?
Would you take him in, like, the 7th, 8th, 9th round?
No.
No? You'd take him more in the double digits?
Here's what I'm thinking with him. He's a guy that I didn't get that top five like Todd said, so now I know in my mind that I'm waiting on my tight end.
Right.
So let's say I miss out on Cook and Olsen and Cameron, I'm waiting even more. So those are the guys to me that are going in the 7th, 8th, 9th round. You know, you take Sudfeld in the 10th or the 12th round, and all of a sudden you may have a top five tight end that you drafted really, really late.
Right, but what I'm saying is in most leagues, like if there's a draft tonight, Sudfeld's not lasting till the 12th round.
Right.
He's red hot. He's the name. He's one of those names right now. It's who's hotter than him in the preseason? He and Cameron.
And
who's
Bernard.
Hotter than them right now? Nobody.
Giovanni, right. Yeah.
And Bernard. Yeah, Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard.
There are two things about Sudfeld. You know, one being what Bill touched on was about, you know, how popular a target the tight end has become in the Patriot offense.
Mm-hmm.
And two, when you're watching him play, not just in games, but when you're watching him do these drills out of training camp, which was open to the public. So we have a large sample size, you know, several weeks and a couple games under our belt here. It's not just kind of a two or three practice flash in the pan.
Sure.
he's a guy that it stands out. You know, he's not the quickest guy in the world, but neither is Rob Gronkowski. This guy's not, you know, the Aaron Hernandez kind of can juke you out of your shoes, that type of thing. But this guy catches everything that he gets his hands on. And, I mean, that play, that juggling catch for a touchdown the other night was evidence of that. And I think that when you're looking at guys, whether it's a receiver or a tight end, in this passing game, you know, one of the things that you fundamentally have to do is just be able to catch the ball. And we've seen, you saw guys like, you know, just throwing examples out here, like a guy like Joey Galloway, who made his living in Tampa Bay. Guy came up here, just couldn't catch the ball. For some reason, one way or another, I mean, he was running the routes. He still had some giddy up left. He just couldn't catch anymore. So a guy like Sudfeld, the thing that stood out to me the most was A, his size, which is, you know, what stands out with Gronk, but B, just the pair of mitts that he has on him. You know, it's like anything he can touch, he's going to catch.
Right.
So those are two, like, observations from, I'll say, having watched him extensively.
Watched him in college, guys. Only 45 catches a senior year. 8 of them went for touchdowns, so every 6 catches was a touchdown for him. He's a major red zone threat.
He's also made a lot of plays in that Tampa game with the first team offense. He caught a 2-point conversion that was a really hard catch, too.
Yep.
When they went for 2, when they scored on that first drive that Amendola had the long touchdown on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They've run a play similar to that in practice quite a bit on the goal line in their drills with the first team offense against the first team defense. And for the most part, he's come up with, I'd say, at least a half a dozen catches similar to that one that leave the defensive back or the safety or the linebacker, whoever's got him in whatever package we're in, you know, shaking their heads, walking back the other way. So it's not a flash in the pan.
Todd, you know, it's funny, Todd and Kevin, I'm not neglecting you, Kevin, but on FF Chance, we have the ADP, the average draft position matrix, and right now Sudfeld is listed as a 17th round draft spot. So, you know, these will update throughout the week. You know, I just want to make note of it that he's 17 on Tuesday. Let's see what he is when we're back on the airwaves for Football Nation right here on Patriots.com radio on Friday, or on Thursday, excuse me. Let's see how much he jumps up, because he's going to go up.
Yeah. 6'7", right, guys?
Yeah.
Undrafted free agent from Nevada.
You got to love that.
Do you know what his signing bonus was, Bill?
I don't know. 500 grand?
No.
What?
He received the largest signing bonuses of Patriot rookies. Okay?
Yeah.
12 grand plus 5 in guaranteed.
12 grand?
17,000 in guaranteed money, which was the second among all undrafted free agents after TJ Moe's 30 grand.
No. What is his contract?
Well, I'm sure it's, I don't know. Well, that's just undrafted free agent stuff. You know, now once he makes the team, I'm sure that changes, right, Kev? I mean, obviously, he goes to the league minimum, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah. Still, undrafted free agent, Bill.
Wow.
Could be a find. We'll see.
And Kemble Tompkins. How about
see when the lights turn on what these guys have?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, you know, he's definitely worthy of a draft pick, but I'm just telling you, he's going to go a couple rounds higher than even we want to take him, Bill. He's one of our guys. He's going to go higher in most leagues. I just feel it.
Think about Kemble Tompkins real quick.
Yep.
Seen a lot of him too the last couple weeks. Again, a guy that stands out as a wideout, can catch pretty much everything thrown his way. He hasn't had one of those practices where it's like, oh my God, he can't get away from it. He's fighting at the ball's hitting the ground every other drill. You know, has developed a rapport with Tom Brady, which is huge because, you know, we've seen Brady kind of shut people out of that offense if they're not able to hang on to the football. So I think, you know, you look at, for example, that first preseason game, the Eagles game, Todd, I think Brady completed 7 passes and like 4 of them were to Tompkins, and that stood out to me. Like, wow, he really trusts this guy early on. But the one thing that I've kind of been a little down on him for is when I watch him do these drills and he goes against Aqib Talib, or he goes against Kyle Arrington, or he goes against Alphonso Dennard. You know, these guys that, you know, they aren't Darrell Revis, but they're serviceable to solid NFL cornerbacks. I'm not seeing a lot of separation there. And with a guy like Brady, you know, you don't need a lot. That window doesn't have to be huge for him to fit that ball in. And if you can catch the ball, which Tompkins can, it's going to work out. But it's a little bit of a concern, you know, with him. And also Boyce is another guy. And Dobson, I'll throw him in the mix there too. Guy's huge, goes up and gets it. but I'm not seeing these guys really shaking their defenders slash running free in some of these drills that we're doing in practice.
The best way to get players to get yards after a catch is to put the ball on the money. Lead your receivers a little bit, let them run into the ball, and then they'll have some room, even if they're not burning guys, even if they're not burning their defenses and getting, you know, past them. The right pass, the perfect pass, which we know Brady is capable of doing, will give them that opportunity.
I'm with you. Just like something I'm looking for heading into this third preseason game here, and, you know, they always say the third one's the big one. Something I'm going to have my eyes on, you know, with Coach Belichick saying today that more than likely the starters slash, you know, I'll say impact players are going to play the whole first half. I want to see these younger wide receivers, the Tompkins, the Boyce, the Dobsons of the world, get open consistently, and I want to see them make some plays down the field. That's what I'm looking for.
Did Brandon Lloyd get separation last year?
I would argue that he didn't on a regular basis, but there were plenty of balls that I remember seeing where he was running pretty wide open down the field. And I couldn't tell if that's from the route or from the scheme. I'd really have to go back and look at it. But there was a couple plays, especially in big games. I think the Houston playoff game, it was either a busted coverage or a double move where he was open by 15 yards, you know, 40-yard pass right down the middle of the field. You know, for all the knocks that Brandon Lloyd has taken and, you know, being released and not, I don't think he's been picked up, has he, guys?
Nope.
Free. But, you know, still with all the stuff he went through last year and, you know, the drops, the, you know, the miscommunication with Brady, the, you know, not ability to make a play after he catches the ball, guy still caught like 75 plus
balls.
That's
what I'm getting at, is he's nothing special, but with Tom Brady, he caught 74 balls for 911 yards.
Yeah. And so I it's just something that I want to see. I want to see these young guys, especially guys like Tompkins and Boyce, who don't strike me as like the possession type receiver that a guy like Dobson would strike me as. I think you can argue that, you know, Dobson is the guy that's going to line up on the outside. He's supposed to be the big physical possession goal, you know, for the jump ball type receiver. Not Randy Moss, but that type of like body. And you could argue that, you know, Tompkins and Boyce are more of your slot guys who are going to get open underneath and run those like, you know, mid to intermediate routes. And I'd just like to see a little bit more separation. You know, I saw Amendola, for example, this past preseason game. He was running around all over the place, and there was plenty of room around him. Now, he might be quicker, more experienced, know the offense better. But those are things that Tompkins and Boyce, you know, in terms of like knowing where you're supposed to be and knowing how to properly round off routes as an NFL polished wide receiver, those are things they can work on moving forward.
Yeah.
You gotta love having Kevin on the show, man.
I love it.
Very interesting perspective. And if it wasn't the Patriots, let's say Kevin was like a part of the Jets organization, we wouldn't give a crap about his opinion because the Jets don't have him much.
That's
of
true.
An offense.
I'd be useless.
Right. But since the Patriots have the last year's best offense in the league, and
they're
likely
they're a good team to talk fantasy because you're going to take a lot of the guys.
100%. That's why, Kevin. You see, you don't think you add a lot, but you have an
impact.
No,
I'm not completely useless. Just, you know, somewhat useless.
So let me throw some numbers at you, Bill, for Tompkins, okay?
Go ahead. Yeah.
For the people that are going gaga over Tompkins as a fantasy player.
Yeah.
If he caught 70 balls for 800 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Great success.
Great success, yeah. Fantasy-wise.
He's like, absolutely. Boy, great success.
Great success.
That's pretty much what the number two wide receiver has done for the Patriots over the last couple of years. If you combine Deion Branch, Brandon Lloyd types, that's kind of what we're looking at. If he's a true number two. That's kind of the average. A couple years ago, by the way, I guess it was their rookie year. Let's go with Sudfeld, okay? I'm looking at Hernandez and Gronk.
Crap.
A couple years ago. Mm-hmm. If Sudfeld caught 50-some-odd balls for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns, would that be a big success?
560 for 6?
50 for 500.
No.
And 6.
No.
All right. Well, Hernandez a couple years ago, actually, my bad, he caught 45 balls for 563 and 6.
Yeah, not good enough.
Well, you know, so just don't go too gaga over Sudfeld. Right. That would be great for the team. That'd be great for the Patriots. But fantasy-wise, you know, just be careful.
Those numbers go up if Gronk doesn't play.
Yes, they do, because that same year, Gronk had a very similar stat line other than he had 10 touchdowns instead of the 6 of Hernandez. I'm going back a couple years, but I'm kind of, you know, Sudfeld's a young player, same quarterback, obviously, so. That's I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Shows why we're so high on Danny Amendola.
Yes, because of what Wes Welker can do. Absolutely, yeah. Wes Welker did. The number of targets he had was just crazy.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up this episode of the Fantasy Football Champs. You can check us out on iTunes, on the Patriots mobile app, and if you're drafting this week, send us a tweet at FFChamps with your questions. We'll try to help you all out, dominate your opponents. Kevin, anything you want to add? Todd, closing thoughts?
No, I'm good. I got all my talking in.
Yeah, he was a
regular chatterbox.
A fountain of information.
Trying to bring the knowledge.
Right. We'll be back here on Patriots.com Radio on Thursday, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Football Nation. Want to thank everyone for listening to the Fantasy Football Chat. Best of luck at your draft.
FFChamps.com. Extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.